Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, again, we come before you, the Holy One, and we thank you, Father, for thy beloved Son that came, that was truly the Holy One who knew no sin, but was made sin for us. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift him up, ask your guidance this week, in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking this week, if you remember, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 14 to start with, we're looking at the good kings of Judah. Yesterday we spent the time we had on introduction and review of who the kings were. And we see that in the nation of Israel it was split into the southern and northern kingdoms after the reign of Solomon. We see that it was split between Rehoboam from the house of Solomon and Jeroboam. Jeroboam had nothing but bad kings to follow him in the northern kingdom of Israel. But we see there was some good kings, eight good kings that followed after Rehoboam in the southern kingdom of Judah. So when we consider this, we'd like to look at six of those eight kings, Lord willing, this week. We're going to try to do that. We're going to leave Hezekiah and Josiah, which were at the end of this time, for another time, for there was much to be studied about Hezekiah and Josiah and great revival in their time. But today, let's start off looking at the first good king, Asa. 2 Chronicles 14. Asa had finishing problems. Notice with me in verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods in the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. That goes on to speak of how they prospered, and they built many things around the city and the cities thereabout. But we see that this one Asa had a good start. He did away with a lot of sinful things in the nation. But then we see in verse 8 and 9, we see that he had a difficulty arise. 1 million people of another nation, Ethiopian host of 1 million troops, came against him. And of course, Benjamin and Judah were the two tribes that made up the southern kingdom, and they had, as it says here, 280,000. So that would be 280,000, plus they had another 300,000. So they had 580,000 against the 1 million, outnumbered nearly 2-1. So in this, what do we see? We see Asa, was he going to go a good direction or a bad direction? But as we're looking here, we see that he cries out to the Lord in verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. So after this cry from Asa to the Lord, he asked that no man would prevail against him and against the Lord. So we see there was rest in the land. Asa had cried out to his God. But then in chapter 15, we see a prophecy. Verse 2, we see Azariah came and spoke to him and said to Asa, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. So we see here, if they would hold to the Lord, that he would be on their side. What happens next? Move down to chapter 15 and verse 16. At this point, he's still showing courage. Asa, a good king. Verse 16, and also concerning Machan, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol. Now, the word for idol is a horrible thing in the Hebrew, I understand. She had made an horrible thing, an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. The man, Asa, is showing courage. He's standing up against the sinful things in that kingdom. But then here comes the problem. Verse 17, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And then we see there was a league made between Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, in chapter 16. And we see here that as he made a league with him, the kingdom, as far as Asa and his effects upon the kingdom, went down. We see that Asa had finishing problems. We think of ourselves as Christians. It's not automatic that if we have a good Christian walk and we're going along strong that we're going to finish well. Now, this is definitely something we ought to be concerned about. There's no promise that we will finish well. Now, in the sense of your salvation, if you're born again, you're a child of God. We're not speaking of your destiny, but we're speaking of your fellowship with the Lord. You can have good communion with the Lord for years and be a strong servant of the Lord for years, but that doesn't mean necessarily you'll end on a strong note. Think of how ones like Paul did. 2 Timothy spoke many times of how ones had forsaken him, but yet in chapter 4 we see that he himself said he was ready to be offered up. He had run the race, had finished his course. Paul finished well. John, also an apostle, there in Revelation, there on the Isle of Patmos, with those visions of and the understanding in the book of Revelation, we see John as an old man finishing well. We think of others. But here, could it be possible that this King Asa, after he was challenged by Hananiah, that perhaps he could have responded in a different way? Instead of rejecting the prophet, he could have finished well. He could have repented. He could have done like David in Psalm 51 and repented of his great sin. But he didn't. Hananiah came to him and challenged him and said in chapter 16, verse 7, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. He went on to say, herein thou hast done foolishly. But we see that he was put in prison. Asa was mad and angry at him for challenging him, and he put this prophet in prison. And also we see down in verse 12, and Asa in the 30th and 9th year of the reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physician. We see that his trust was not the Lord. He had not finished well. He was leaning upon others in a different direction. This one who had done great things in Judah did not finish well. This is a challenge for each of us. You see, Hananiah, that prophet that came to speak to Asa, his name means graciously given of the Lord. This should tell us that the Lord was giving him a chance to repent. The Lord gives people second chances, doesn't he? He gives us a chance. He sent this prophet, which meant graciously given of the Lord. The very name of the prophet spoke of the opportunity that the Lord was giving Asa. But Asa did not finish well. We see that he had become sick and died. This brings us to the next king, Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat has a lot spoken of him. We see in chapters 17 to 20 of 2 Chronicles. And in this particular king, we see compromising problems. We see in chapter 17, verses 1 to 6, we see that the word of God is taught and revered. What a key to any revival. Revival is not a noun, I've been told. It's a action. It's a state. It's not that let's have a revival meeting, which is thrown around as a loose term, but we need revival in our hearts. we see revival was in action here with Jehoshaphat because the Word of God was taught and they revered the Word of God. That was the key. We see in chapter 17 still, verse 9 and 10, that because of this, it brought a good life. Verse 9, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Now, we're not always promised a good life here on earth when we're following the Lord. In one sense, we know that persecution and that kind of thing can come about. But yet, sometimes by holding to the things of God, we might find a good situation here. But what we are promised of is the fact that we're pilgrims and strangers on this earth and that we have blessings in heavenly places. But sometimes by holding to spiritual things, we'll find a good situation around us. That's what they had. The people round about Judah feared them, and there was no war brought upon Jehoshaphat in the kingdom. So we see here, they revered the Word of God. But, in verse 12, and Jehoshaphat waxed great exceeding, and he built in Judah castles and cities and store. Then you go down to chapter 18, and we see that Jehoshaphat compromised. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Ahab was the one Elijah went to as the prophet back there in 1 Kings. That evil, wicked king who had an evil wife, Jezebel. So we see compromise by Jehoshaphat. We're going to have to close out here for the day, but Jehoshaphat, we'll see restoration came again in the land in chapters 19 and 20, but then we see at the end of the recording of Jehoshaphat that again, he joined himself, this time with Ahaziah, the king of Israel, who did very wickedly. We're told to come out from among them. We're told, it's brought up in 2 Corinthians 6, what fellowship has light with darkness? And we see that we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, and that's not just in the marriage realm, but in that passage in 2 Corinthians, it explains it in different facets of our life. But I would warn you, if you are a Christian and you are not married, let's apply it to that. Or say in the business realm, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers because you're going to bring grief to your soul. You might think, well, I'll witness to this person and maybe they'll get saved later. God does not tell you to do it that way. If they're not saved when you get married, they'll more likely bring you down to have to compromise to their level. They might get saved later, but you're taking a grievous chance that you might have your Christian walk and testimony hindered. They may never get saved. How are you going to raise your children for the Lord if you marry an unbeliever? And if they say they're saved, and there's not much evidence that they're really serious, you know, it's possible they're not really a born-again child of God, look for someone who means business with the Lord. This is God's will. His will is His Word, and His Word tells us that we should be, if we're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now, this is just a challenge. Jehoshaphat compromised. Let's not compromise. Let's be as Daniel in the lion's den. Let's think of his friends in the fiery furnace. No compromise. Thank you again for joining us. This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe for the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. Join us tomorrow on the broadcast from 1 to 1:15. If you have any questions or any comments, write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsour, or you could call us. This week, the phone number is 824-5525. That's for any comments or questions, 824-5525.